And now let's give Jesus Christ a clap offering here this day that positioned us to be blessed, that positioned himself at the cross of Calvary over 2,000 years ago to say, I'm blessed, you're blessed, and the lost and bound shall be blessed in the name of Jesus. Snap out of it. We're blessed. Praise the Lord. Worship team, good job. You may have your seats. You may have your seats as well here on this beautiful Sunday morning. Amen. Sometimes we just got to snap out of it and snap into the truth that Christ has already done for your life and my life. Amen. I want to welcome all those that are here this day. If you're new, we welcome you. And I pray that you have an experience with the person of the Holy Spirit here this day. Those viewing online as well, I pray that you have an experience right there from where you are viewing this broadcast. Amen. Excited here this day, because even though the times we're living in are getting darker and darker, it just makes the light of Christ get brighter and brighter. But so we got to know that. We got to know that we're on the winning team here this Sunday morning. Don't look what the score is. You just know that you're on the winning team, amen? Because the last round belongs to Jesus Christ and the return of Jesus for the church, amen? So that's why at times we got to snap out of being bummed, all bummed out, amen? It's easy to go there. It's real easy to go there. But there's a truth here this day, church. We have the victory, amen? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. A lot of great exciting things. The Code Red is taking place this Wednesday right after we have prayer intercessory here at the church. We're going to go prayed up. And Code Red is for us, I mean, our focus and purpose for the Code Red that's taking place all around the world is in search of prostitutes, amen? In search of prostitutes, amen, to be able to bring them back, not just give them something to eat and pray for them, lead them, but to bring them back to our rehabilitation homes, amen, that they may be able to receive Christ, amen, and be discipled in the knowledge of Christ and become disciples, amen. So that's what we're doing this Wednesday, and I believe there's not too many churches that go looking for prostitutes. We do, amen. Amen. There was a time in my life when I was lost and bound. I was also looking for prostitutes. But for all the wrong reasons, amen. So now 25 years later, amen, it's to bring them to Christ. Because I've been there, done that. I know what they're going through, and so do we. They're living a real troubled life, amen, but one that Christ can remove them from. Amen. So that's this Wednesday. And as we do it, it's going to be taking place in Africa, London, Europe, all around the world. It's going to be taking place. So it's a real powerful time for us to go and evangelize under the anointing of Christ. For the word of God in Acts says that he has given us power, amen, to be his witnesses. Witnesses of what he is able to do in one's life, no matter where we've been, no matter what we've done, amen. We are the witnesses that Christ is able to do all things in anybody's life, amen. Let's give the Lord one more good clap offering here this morning. Praise the Lord. The title of this morning's message, as we all take our seats and as the movie round comes to an end, please, is Passing or Failing the Test. The title of this morning's message is Passing or Failing the Test. As we go to the book of Job, chapter 1, I'm just going to touch lightly on the book of Job right now. Might make it a series. I'll know after the service today if I'm going to do so. But for this day, amen, as we read Job 1, verses 1 to 3. And the Bible reads, there was once a man named Job who lived in the land of Uz. He was blameless, a man of complete integrity. He feared God and stayed away from evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 teams of oxen, and 500 female donkeys. He also had many servants. He was, in fact, the richest person in that entire area. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor. I pray that you open all of our hearts, Lord, that your word be able to be implanted within our hearts, that it may be able to bear fruit, Lord, take root and bear fruit of 30, 60, and 100 fold for thy glory and their honor. And we all say in one accord, amen. Here we see in these opening verses from 1 through 3 that Job was a very, very blessed man. Commentary says that it's not certain who the author is of the book of Job. Some say it's Moses, and some say it's Job himself is the author of the book of Job. There's times we can make claims about our walk with the Lord. Amen? And not always, but usually, we will add to it. You know, this is where I'm at with the Lord. This is what I've done. I've been saved for 20, 30 years. You know, I'm good. And there's times that we gauge our walk with the Lord greater than it should, greater than it really is. Amen? But here, within this story, whether it was Moses speaking on the behalf of the life of Job, or Job speaking about his life, whoever the author was, we know who the true author is. And the true author is God. And in verse 8, it wasn't what Job thought about himself or what Moses was saying about him, but look what God said about Job. Then the Lord asked Satan, "Have you noticed my servant Job? He is the finest man in all the earth. He is blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil." So in verse 1, whoever was the author, whether it was Moses on the book of Job or whether it was Job himself, we find out that in verse 8, God confirms that what Moses said or what Job said about his own life was true. It's one thing for us to say, "This is where I'm at in Christ." But it's another thing when God is able to confirm where your life, your walk with him is at. And here in verse 8, we find that God himself confirmed what was written in verse 1. It was a truth. That's powerful. Job's great love for the Lord would be tested not to prove something to Satan, but to prove to you and I that we can make it, to not give up, even if you're going the wrong way. God's grace and mercy is able to reach you where you're at here this day. And especially if you're making the right moves and you're being attacked right now. We need to know through the story of Job not to give up. And there's always more going on, more to the story when we're under attack and we're trying to figure out why this or that may be taking place in our lives, whether we deserved it, whether we didn't deserve it. And we rack our minds trying to figure out, why am I going through what I'm going through? We need to know beyond our puny little minds that we serve a big God that is in full control, that knows exactly what's going on in your life right now. He's able to read your heart right now. There's nothing you can keep secret from the Lord. Now, the work of the enemy is not able to read your heart, but he's able to read your actions, your character. And he's able to make adjustments, whatever it is, to get you in a place where you're troubled, needing encouragement. So here we find out, while Job was severely being attacked, that this was taking place while he was blameless, a man of integrity, a man that stayed away from evil, and yet his life was being attacked. But little did we know, we're going to find out this day, that Satan and God both knew why Job was under attack. We need to know here this day that the Lord knows what you're going through right now. And there's a purpose why you're going through what you're going through right now. You need to know that the Lord is also not just knowing what you're going through, but that he has a purpose and that he's in full control right now with what's taking place in your life, even though you might be feeling like you just may not make it out this time. We need to know that we are in the hands of the Lord as we try to figure out why certain things play out within our lives. And we're trying to figure them out. We need to know that the Father we serve has an answer to every why and is in full control right now, whatever your situation might be. Amen. Job's great love for the Lord would be tested, not to prove a point to Satan, but to you and I, that we can make it. That we can make it. Even under hard times, when we're wrong, like I said, especially when we're not wrong. I've seen people give up when they're not wrong because they're not understanding the moment they're in, the attack they're in. Quitting when you're right. What Job would go through would be unknown to him because he was blameless. He had integrity. He stayed away from evil. It's one thing to know why all these things might be taking place in your life when you're doing it all, making all the wrong moves. Then you're able to have the answer to your many whys. But when you're making the right moves and everything that is taking place feels like you're making all the wrong moves, then it becomes hard to figure out what's really going on right now. So here this morning, we're going to go behind the scene of what was really going on when Job was under attack. We're going to find out what was really taking place. What Job would go through would be unknown to him, but you and I, the listener, the reader, we're going to know why Job was going through what he was going through. We're going to read here this day, and we're going to know that God and Satan were having a conversation about Job. Job's not knowing about this conversation. We're knowing about this conversation. Follow me. Follow me here this day. But it's going to be revealed to you and I, even though Job couldn't get it, even though he was blameless, even though he ran from evil, and he had great integrity, he still couldn't figure out why he was going through what he was going through. God and Satan were having a conversation, I put here, with God giving Satan divine permission to attack Job. Satan wasn't coming crooked on the down low, but Satan had divine permission from God himself. Satan was making all these claims of, shoot, I'd follow you too if you hooked me up like Job hooked up. I'd do whatever you say also. But there's somebody God's wanting to hook up right now. But you're going to have to do what God wants you to do. His perfect will. And here Satan would have divine permission from God himself to attack Job. There was a quote many years ago at a world conference in California that we went to where now elder Pastor Joe Cantanella, amen, was preaching, and he was going through deaths in the family and couldn't figure it out, and that the Lord spoke to him. The Lord spoke to him, accept what I allow to take place. What I allow to take place. Those are heavy words right there. There's just some things that we're going to have to accept, church, at different times in our walk with the Lord, if we're going to walk with the Lord. We need to know if he's in control, and if he don't want certain things happening to you, he will not allow them to take place. So if something is taking place right now that you're looking at as unfair or not right, and it has happened, accept it. For the Lord has allowed it to go through to accomplish something from your life, to make you stronger, sharper. Accept. Because if it was something the Lord would just not ever want for you to go through, he would not allow it to take place. Here, Satan himself had divine permission from God himself. He had the green light on Job. He said, just don't take him out. Take everything he owns. If that's your claim to why he worships me and why he loves me, remove all that stuff then. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, the Bible reads, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. Amen? The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, including Job. Including Job. Pastor, don't put me in Job's category, Pastor. The Bible clearly says the temptations in your life, they're in us, are no different from what others experience. I want you to hold that thought right there, amen. I want you to hold that thought. My notes say right now, be nice and encourage. Because usually at this time, I'd be taking off right now. There's something for you here this morning if you listen. That verse, verse 13 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. That verse tells us that we all go through the same temptations. Can I get an amen? Amen. It's what the Bible says. Reading out of the NLT translation. I want us to go back to Job chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. I need you to listen to get what the Lord has for your life. To get the full answer here this day or Blue's Clue. There once was a man named Job who lived in the land of Uz. He was blameless, a man of complete integrity. He feared God and stayed away from evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 teams of oxen, and 500 female donkeys. He also had many servants. He was, in fact, the richest person in that entire area. I have a question here this day. How did Job get to a place of being blameless, a man of complete integrity, of becoming the richest man in that entire area? How? Well, he didn't get there by being the richest man in that area. I put here many rich people with no integrity and to blame in the state this world is in right now. It wasn't because he was rich and the claims that Satan was making about his life. Many rich people with no integrity that are not blameless, that live in evil doings. I put here, there was an order to why God had hooked up the life of Job. How many want to get hooked up by the Lord? How many got hooked up by the street corner at one time back in the days going BC? Amen? For a minute, he hooked us up. Receive us. And if we were down to be hooked up by the work of the enemy, we should be down to be hooked up by Jesus. We should be willing and wanting to be hooked up by the Lord here this day. But it's what goes on up here. There was an order. In verse 1, the order starts. Verse 1, there was once a man named Job who lived in the land of Uz. He was blameless, a man of complete integrity. He feared God and stayed away from evil. That's step 1. It didn't start that he was rich. It started about the foundation, what allowed God to notice his life, what allowed God to speak about his life, to say, have you noticed my servant Job? There was an order to why the life of Job was hooked up by God. And we come to find out there was a foundation there in verse 1 that he was blameless, he had integrity, and he stayed away from evil and he feared God. Step 1. Step 2 is found in verse 2. And the Bible says he had a blessed family. That he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Step 2. Amen. There's an order here. Step 3 is found in verse 3. It says, then what he owned. It shows everything he owned in verse 3. It was a step 1 in verse 1. There was a step 2 in verse 2. And now there's a step 3 found in verse 3 in why Job owned everything he owned. He put the Lord first in his life. Him rich couldn't keep him. God said, take everything I've given to him away. Let's find out if that is the numero uno reason he wants to be with me. Let's take away your answer, Satan, to why you say Job loves me. Let's go by what you're saying here this day, and let's put it to the test. I'm going to give you divine permission to remove everything from his life. Even step 2, which was his wife and his children, wiped out. Step 3, all his belongings wiped out. But as long as Job had breath, he was able to get step 1 and keep it in a perfect order. And his love for the Lord. I'm here to let you know that things can be going wrong right now. You may not have that car yet, that wife yet, those children yet, that nice clothes, that pair of shoes, that purse you want. But if you got one locked in, if you got Jesus locked in, I want to let you know, my friend, that step 2's around the corner, step 3's around the corner, because God is looking for a man, he's looking for a woman, he's looking for a young adult that he can hook up so that he may be able to speak about them and say, take notice of my son, my daughter. There was an order in the life of Job. The problem of today. Once again, how did Job get there? He passed the many tests that were brought to his life that God allowed to take place. There's just some tests you got to take to pass to go to the next grade, to the next level. Oh, Pastor, I don't like this test. Do you want to go forward or do you want to be held back another year? I said again, I got held back in second grade 2 years in a row. My Lord. I don't know. Some of you do not want to go through the test, but you still want to go forward. You still want step 2 and step 3 in your life. The benefits, the bennies. How did Job get there? He passed the many tests that came his way that allowed him to be blameless, full integrity, and to stay away from evil. It came, his blessings came by passing the many tests. The problem of today is that everybody wants to be rich, but nobody wants integrity. Nobody wants to stay away from evil. That is the word for today. I almost feel like picking up another love offering right now. And for some of you, a hate offering. Everybody wants to be rich. But nobody wants to change. Nobody wants to do it on the lines of integrity. Nobody wants to do it by staying away from evil. Nobody wants to do it by putting Jesus first. I'm being nice. So I want you to be blessed. Everybody trying to be rich, by going about it all the wrong way and putting Jesus first when you got time to put him first, when everything's going your way. Thank you, Jesus. And you're off to work. Everybody wanting to be rich, but integrity in your life. Are you staying away from people? Because God is wanting to hook you up this day. Because he's able. He owned all them sheep, all them donkeys and camels, and he owns everything. He's just looking for a man that is able to get step one correctly, to be the recipient of what he has to offer. Everybody wants to be rich, I put here, but nobody wants integrity. Nobody wants to stay away from evil. And that's why many fail the test of life. That's why many fail as Christians. We're saved now. That's why many fail the test of life, becoming that great man, woman, young adult of God. Who still wants to be rich? Come on, Marco, raise that hand. Marco's got that one. Chava says, I'm there. It's going to get better right here. And I'm going to be done. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 12, and 13. If you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. We're going to read this again. I need you to listen to get the last point. The temptations in your life are no different. So in other words, it don't matter if you grew up on the right side of the tracks or the wrong side of the tracks. It doesn't matter what color you and I are, where you were raised up, whether you had a mom or dad, didn't have a mom or dad. The Bible clearly says the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. Goes on to say, and God is faithful. Goes on to say, he will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will. Tell your neighbor, he will. Not maybe, but that he is faithful and that he will show you a way out. That he will show you a way out so that you can endure. Not be exempt from the test, but that you can come out on the other side of the test stronger than you were going into the test. Very important here this day. First point is that we all face the same temptations, all of us. You're not facing one that's harder than mine, or is mine harder than yours? But they're the same. The second point is that God will not allow more than you can stand. In other words, the test you're undergoing right now is not meant to take you out, but to take you where God wants to take you. Amen? When God gives a test to his children, sons and daughters, young adults, it's to be passed. And that's why the Bible says that the temptation will not be more than you can stand. Well, Pastor, I'm not educated. His word says that he's not going to put something too heavy on you to fail the test. The problem is not that it's the lack of education, it's too much education. And allow one to think they don't need God. I'm a 4.0 student. I don't need God. That's my professor. The third point is that God's faithful to show you a way out so that you can endure. Pastor, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this one. Think I'm done. There's no way out. He will show you a way out. This is not my words. This ain't my counseling session. This is God's word. He's the counselor. It's an attribute of the person of the Holy Spirit. He's our counselor. Who needs counsel here this day? Pastor, I really did it this time. There's no way out. He will show you, make it personal, a way out. Pastor, there's no way out. Yet, not according to God's word. According to your feelings and the way you're thinking, you might be right, but you're wrong according to the word of God. Now, do you want to be right or do you want God to be right? If you want God to be right, there's a way out. There's a way out. Would you rather want to believe that there's not a way out or that there's a way out? Even the flesh should want door number two, the way out. Would you rather believe there's no way out? My friend, if that was the truth, what are you doing here? You're at the wrong address. What are you doing here? You should have stayed in bed. Because that's what people do that feel there's no way out. They'd rather keep their eyes closed and stay asleep. As if it's going to take care of the problem. The good news of the gospel preaching here this day is that Jesus is our way out. He records himself in the book of Revelation that he is the door. And a door can either open or close. And I'll finish with this, finishing early today. We got a game, Marco? Is there any games today? Oh, man, I should have used it for a game day, this message. I put here 25 years later. I've been saved for 25 years. 25 years later, and I still find myself going through big tests. You would think the Lord would lighten up on me for being your old pastor. You would think. 25 years later, I'm still going through big tests within my life. I put here, it's almost seems, it's not a truth. It almost seems as unfair. Been faithful for 25 years and I'm still going through the biggest test of my life. And I put a point here and I don't want you to forget it. Faithfulness will bring further tests. Faithfulness will bring further tests to your life. Why did Job have to be tested if he was already staying away from evil? If he was already blameless? Why would he have to stay? Why would he have to be tested? It was like, God, he proved himself. Leave him alone, man. But I believe here this day that what Job went through was not for his life or for Satan, but for your life and my life here this day to hear, to know what was going on behind the scene. What was taking place in the life of Job was almost like he was in sin. His friends would come and call it sin, sin, sin. You're going through it because you're in sin, Job. But Job knew he wasn't in sin. God knew he wasn't in sin. And Satan's reason was that he was so hooked up. Faithfulness will bring further tests to your life. It's God's way of taking a man, a young adult, from glory. And if God take place, it could just be him trying to take you to the next level. But you're looking at it like, man, this is going to take me out. This is going to take me back. At the end and the conclusion of this story, God doubled up Job. He gave him a double up, like we when you say in the street corner. He hooked him up with the dove. He gave him the double up. The problem is too many still after the kibble of sin, the kibble of evil, still wanting a $2 hit when God wants to give you a booyah, to blow your mind, he wants to hook you up. I call it getting high on the Most High. No $2 hit able to give you what the Lord is able to do. But sometimes we're going through and it seems unfair, but it might just be God's way of taking you to the next level. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. Final question as the worship team makes their way. 11:31. Final question is, are you struggling from faithfulness or unfaithfulness? Everybody's happy they got quiet. What you're going through, is it based on faithfulness as the faithfulness of the life of Job? Or is it because of unfaithfulness? And the good news here this day, not only is that we're finishing at 11:30, but the good news of the love of the Father, even if you're struggling because of unfaithfulness, God still wants to hook you up right now. Still wants to hook you up. The message is just not for the faithful, but for the unfaithful. So at this point of the service, it's to your advantage, to your benefit. If you've been unfaithful to the Lord, we're going to have an altar call to once again be faithful to the Lord, to repent. Say, God, what I'm going through, it's not something that you allowed Satan to do. It's something I gave him. I allowed him to do. What's taking place in my life is something I did. I allowed it. God, I want to get back to the place that when something negative takes place, I want it to be because you allowed it. Because you knew I was ready to pass the test. That's the wisdom of God. But too many times in hard times, we go to our puny mind wisdom. We'll always fail the test before the test even comes. As if our God can't fulfill what he said and given us a way out, whether we deserve it or don't deserve it. My God, we win here today. We win. We win whether you deserve it or don't deserve it. But wouldn't you rather be right and deserve what God wants to do in and through your life as we stand here this day? There's times that we allow whatever it is to take place in our lives, and there's consequences to it that will always be negative. And then there's times we go through things when, because God is allowing it to take place. And those consequences come with the double up, to hook you up, to continue showing you the way out in this darkened world that we live in. So we got to ask God, teach me. Teach me to get step one right. Step one is so important to getting that family in order. Step two, to be able to have material wealth. Spiritual wealth. Step three, as we open up the altars, whatever the song is, love, whatever the song is. This altar call is for everybody. Everybody. Yeah.